Butler. Hamilton, Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia, May 22, 1899. Dear Brother Butler, we are having 20 minutes time before we leave for the station, and I improve the time in writing a few words to you. I have been up since 1 o'clock, commenced writing at 2 o'clock, have written 10 pages, eaten my breakfast, and am writing a few lines, knowing if I make a beginning I shall perhaps finish it. Oh, how I long to see the work advance. This locality is being worked, but we have given only a small portion of Newcastle some work. There is a dearth of laborers and a great dearth of means. The donations supposed to come to us have not reached us yet. Only £100 have come, and we thank the Lord for that much. But we keep at work, watching and praying and waiting. We have had to do quite an amount of labor, investing means in building a hospital for a place to take our sick. My house has been open as a hospital, but the piers are now laid, and the work will advance. If we can only get the building enclosed, we can use it for our coming conference. Ministers are to meet to consult together as to how best to carry forward the work. My heart is in this work. We must entertain quite a number. I wish you were to be our guest. I would entertain you right gladly, but although this may never be, it will do no harm for me to express my wishes that should it be. I would be very, very glad. I want to see your face in the flesh and speak with you in regard to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is soon to come, and I am doing my best to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. Sarah and I came to Newcastle last Friday. It is the week of prayer, and the laborers are distributed in different churches in New South Wales to spread our help the longest way. Sunnyside, Currumbong, May 23rd. At home again. Our meetings at Hamilton were excellent. Sabbath Brother Haskell spoke in the morning meeting. I, according to appointment, spoke in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. There was a good representation of those who have recently come to a knowledge of the truth. After Brother Haskell prayed, my heart was drawn out in earnest supplication for the presence of Jesus in our midst to bless God's commandment-keeping people, pleading the promise made in Exodus 31, verse 12 to 17. The Lord has twice said the Sabbath is a sign between me and you throughout your generations for a perpetual covenant, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Verse 13. We must have the sanctification of the Spirit. We must open wide the windows of our soul heavenward, that the Sun of Righteousness shall come in, and its bright beams make us all light in the Lord. I did believe, and I did receive that peace in my heart that the world cannot give. Neither can it take away. There were many with eyes wet with tears. When I arose to speak, I felt strengthened physically, and the Lord seemed indeed preciously nigh. I spoke upon taking the Lord at His word. If we have sinned, we are to bear in mind that Christ is the sin-bearer, and would certainly come very close unto us, and be our stronghold in every emergency. The Lord gave me freedom, not to preach, but to speak the word with simplicity. I read the precious promises, showing them what was our duty day by day. See Romans 12, verse 1, 2. These words comprehend much. Opportunity is given unto every soul to prove, by an experimental knowledge, the acceptable service to God, and thus, by surrendering our whole being as a consecrated offering, demonstrate to the world that there is a reality in the true service of God. This accepting us just as we are, cleansing us, purifying us, sanctifying us to Himself, is a great work to do for us, and yet it must be done, else we cannot see His face. The heart of God is determined to do a great work for us if we will let Him, and we have the privilege of glorifying the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in accepting His great love. He loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins, and He loves us when we permit Him to take away our sins and impute to us His righteousness. Best of all is that this working in the human agent both glorifies the name and makes glad the heart of God as He sees the subjects of His kingdom, channels of light through whom He can communicate His inconceivable blessings of love and mercy and glory. It is in lifting up the believer to a state of enjoyment of His love and grace that He can make us His light-bearers to the world, and it satisfies His heart of love when we cooperate with the Lord Jesus in the great work of restoring the moral image of God in fallen man. Well might the inspired apostle, in considering this wonderful theme, say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians 1, verse 3. Brother Butler, may the Lord Jesus help you to be of good courage. Do not look to yourself, but unto Jesus, who is the only one who can help you and me. Some things come up that make my heart very sad and discouraged. There are wrongs that ought not to be, but we ought not to be surprised at them. But it hurts my heart, and I cannot at night close the draw. 3 nights in succession, I could sleep but a few hours. I was then certain I must change, go somewhere. I was wanted at Newcastle, and I left Friday morning, and spent Sabbath and Sunday at Hamilton, Newcastle. It was pleasant to look upon the Sabbath keepers. Not one of the people, citizens of Newcastle, were of our faith, a few months ago, and now there are 35 that have been baptized, and 12 more are waiting a favorable opportunity. I designed to write you a much nicer letter than this, and also to write a letter to Aurora, but tell your sister I have not been able. I have had Brethren Daniels, Starr, and W.C. White to consult with upon important matters in relation to the cause of God, and the providence of God in bringing us into new places and preparing the way in Sydney, that we can now advance. It seems so singular that a house in Wall's End was offered us, a large building bearing a sign in great letters, Empire Clothing Store. This is in need of repairs, but it is 2 stories high. Brother and Sister Haskell were forced out of the place Brother Lacey had occupied sooner than they were ready, and this house was for rent. The sales room will hold 200 people, and then there are good rooms for the workers, and it is only 10 shillings per week. They would have to pay 10 shillings per evening for a hall no larger. We were greatly bound about in the city, the main business part of Sydney. We could do but little medical work, because we could not get a place for bathrooms and giving of treatments. What to do we could not tell. Yesterday, Elder Starr came to Kurrenbong with the information that he had a 3-story brick building, which had once been a printing office, offered to them for $25 per month. It is a large 3-story house. The room which had been used as a printing office will be converted into a hall for meetings, and there will be bathrooms made for patients to take baths and all kinds of treatments. Just what we wanted. But I must close for this mail. I send you enclosures, thinking you would be interested in the matter.